Hello, my name's Anthony Ballard, and I'm a bit of a Formula One fan and geek. And what you may be surprised to know is the number of veterans that work within Formula One. And as we wrap up the 2022 Formula One season, I've been tracking down some of the ex-servicemen that work in and around Formula One, starting with this happy bunch who have been seconded to Williams Racing.
So what's your name?
Gary Corbell.
And yours?
Dave Horton.
Dean Welch.
And what do you do in Formula One?
Basically, we provide logistical support for Williams Racing as part of Eddie Stobart, and we're contracted to Williams Racing to move the motorhome.
And how did you end up being from the military in this?
So essentially, I got my Class 1 licence at Leconfield while serving, and came out and decided to take up driving as a career, and just one thing led to another and I ended up here.
And are there any similarities with being in the military and being in Formula One?
I'd say, yeah, it's just there is. Everything we do as a team, we put our ex-military experience together, so it makes it run smoother.
And I've got to ask this, who did you serve with?
Rifles.
And anybody you want to say hello to, or you've just passed them by?
Not many people are knowing the Rifles now, to be honest, because I've been out 11 years. It's quite an evolving environment.
And you, where did you serve?
RLC.
You're loggy.
I was only here for 2 years. I had a medical discharge because my feet, arches collapsed in my feet. So it wasn't very long lived, to be fair. But.
And who did you serve with?
The Royal Green Jackets, 1st Battalion.
Anybody you want to say hello to at all?
Just everybody who's in, and stay safe.
Guys, thank you very much for talking to us. Would you advise it as a good career move if you're in the military? Coming into Formula One, it's a bit of a dream, isn't it, really?
Yeah, I mean, if you like Formula One and you're interested in sport, then working within it as well is really interesting and exciting. It's hard work, but nothing ventured, nothing gained. And you have a good time when you have time off.
And I bet your mate's a bit envious, I'm guessing.
Every now and then, yeah, you know, you get about a bit. But it's not all champagne and sunglasses, you know. It's a bit of graft at times, especially on these triple header events and stuff like that. But, you know, we get through it.
And, I mean, you've been in it for quite a while. Would you advise it as a decent career?
Yeah, I'd give it some advice with other people, but I'd tell them it's not all roses. There is some hard graft, and if you're not willing to put the work in, I wouldn't bother.
Because it does look, I mean, people think it's just glamorous, but it's not, is it? It's a lot of graft.
No, there is a lot of graft part of it, but you also get your time off as well, time down. I would recommend it.
Brilliant, guys. Thanks for talking to us. Thank you.
So that's some veterans working in and around the Williams Formula One team. Now, one person who's worked with quite a few of ex-serving people is broadcaster, 1996 world champion, and all-round racing legend, Damon Hill.
So first of all, you must have worked with quite a few military people in Formula One in your time.
Yeah, I think there's been a lot of people at Williams are ex-forces, you know, whether it was the RAF or the Navy. And I think particularly the electronics people. We have one or two people at Sky who were in the military, and I think they're used to kind of aiming things. So they're usually cameramen.
Because you've got a Marine, haven't you, as a cameraman? We're going to try and talk to him at some point.
Yeah, I did mention it too. I think he's trying to keep a low profile. But you have to be a big, strong lad to carry a flipping great big TV camera around your shoulders all day long.
And do you have any military connection? Anybody in the family was in the military?
My dad was in the Navy. So my dad was National Service. So he was in the Navy as a chief petty officer, and he was in the engine room. He always used to joke that the first vehicle he was really in charge of had about 12,000 horsepower, and but he couldn't see where he was going.
And I mean, does it surprise you that so many people kind of want to be working in Formula One?
I don't think it's a surprise. I think it's a very alluring, exciting, there's lots of opportunity in Formula One. It travels the world. It puts people to the test in many different ways, whether it's just simply packing your bags. You know, I suppose that's very much like being, you know, ready to drop everything at the drop of a hat and go somewhere, and as you might be doing in the military. But yeah, the discipline needed to work as a team, and everyone knows they have a job, and sometimes they have to help out with other people as well. So yeah, it's intense. I suppose that's where it has probably many parallels. Although I would say that perhaps being the military is a little bit more serious than what we do here.
You're a phenomenally successful racing driver, a former world champion. But if you could join the military, what would you like to do? Because they've got some fun toys to play with as well.
But I think anything, I mean, I've been in a fighter plane, which is, I think it was a Typhoon, yeah. And that was exciting. The motorbikes, I think, would be the most interesting. You've got electric motorbikes, haven't you? You've got electric bicycles and whizzing. anything like that is I was speaking to a chap who was in the boat services, and I don't think I'm betraying trade secrets at all, but this super torpedo thing that they goes underwater that's very quiet, which sounds fun. I'm not someone who is particularly attracted to guns, but I can see that the machinery that you have at your disposal it has to be pretty impressive.
So finally, just if you've got any message to anybody serving, around the forces world, it's quite a busy time at the moment for everybody. What would you like to say to them?
Well, I'd just like to say it. We're very appreciative of everyone who does their job in the forces and, keeps us safe. And in a changing world, we are, everyone's getting more concerned about things, what the future holds. So we need, and we're very proud of all our armed forces, and we're very lucky to have such high quality and dedicated people working for us.
He was one of the nicest people I've ever met, by the way. So far, we've heard from logistics guys, obviously from Damon there, but what about the drivers and their experiences of veterans in Formula One? I sat down and had a quick chat in Monza to Nicholas Latifi, who sadly, after I spoke to him, at the next race, lost his seat in the car. It was nothing to do with me, honest.
So how did you get into racing?
So I kind of just stumbled upon the sport, really. Didn't get into it the traditional way most drivers do, which is obviously their parents putting them in at a young age, especially if they were from a racing background or had a passion for motorsport. I just happened to try and go to a go-kart track once with my family for fun. Enjoyed it a lot. Found a place in Toronto to just go on the weekend every now and then. Indoor, just like arrive and drive, very low level. Just a bit of a hobby. Me, my older brother, and my dad were doing some family bonding. And I just took a liking to it. Then, I guess the long story short, the owner of the track was a driving instructor at the time, former racing driver, and he saw some talent in me.
You must have been really good, though. Come on.
I like to think I was. I mean, and that's what the coach at the time was telling me, because, again, I literally had no experience. I was starting at a very late age. This is at the time I was 12 years old, just doing arrive and drive. And again, for having no driving experience at all. So yeah, that's kind of how it happened. I was opposed to it at first because I didn't really have any intention to get into racing. I tried to race and then kind of fell in love. And the rest is history.
So if you were in the military, they've got lots of toys, yeah, and they've got lots of fun things, and you weren't a Formula One racing driver, what do you think you'd like to do?
Well, that's a good question. I mean, there's I guess a lot of options, I guess. I mean, probably the closest parallel you can draw to what we do is maybe a fighter pilot. I mean, I think that would be quite cool to try, at least. I mean, yeah, Formula One drivers and fighter pilots often get compared, I guess, lots of very high G-forces. I mean, the Gs these guys pull is absolutely insane. So, I mean, I would be quite curious to try that, to experience that.
And we can try and hook that up for you if you like. I don't know. Yeah. So I don't think your team would let you. Do you know of any ex-service people in the team, and what are they like? Because there's quite a lot of ex-military people in Formula One.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of ex-military people in Formula One, I think, across, not just in Williams. Prior to joining Williams, I was a test development driver for other teams. And I guess it is, I'm not going to say it's a common thing, but the fact that there is, let's say, some ex-military people that work in F1. I mean, I guess in a way, there's a lot of common traits you need to have. I mean, it's obviously a very high pressure environment, a very different high pressure environment. The consequences are not the same as on the battlefield as they are on an F1 racetrack, but it's still, a lot of things like communication, working under pressure, making sure everything is right under pressure, being streamlined, efficient. There's a lot of parallels between it. So that's why I think a lot of ex-military people tend to come working in F1.
So this is going out to military people around them. Yeah. Military, well, especially British service people. Any just quick message for them?
Yeah, I mean, I'm not a British citizen, clearly, but, for sure, I can respect what any member of military does. Serving their country is a very huge honor, and obviously the sacrifice they put themselves, their families under to do this and to serve the country, to serve its people is very commendable, and I have a lot of respect for military people.
Thank you for talking to us.
Thank you.
So running up and down a paddock, continuing a search for ex-service men and women working in Formula One, I bumped into the Haas team. Not the biggest or the richest in the paddock. However, like most teams, they've got veterans in them, and these two are brilliant.
So what's your name?
Max Cooper.
What's your name?
Ryan Cotty.
And what did you do in the military?
I was a communication and logistics specialist in the Royal Signals.
Communication systems engineer in the Royal Signals.
Haas, what a team. What made you want to join Formula One?
I followed the sport as a fan for a couple of years and then worked my way into Pirelli as a tyre fitter. And I love the lifestyle, being away all the time as well. And the next step up for me was to come into a team, which is where I'm at now.
And it's a bit similar to being in the military, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. It's every day, every week set up and packed down, kind of reminds you of like a brigade level exercise where you're traveling to a new location, setting up, doing your rigs and then doing your de-rig at the end. The time scales, all the timetables, it's very militarized, but rather than military operations, you do in like motorsport.
And a lot of people in the military are in Formula One. I don't think many people know that. Why do you think that is?
I think it's because it's a certain lifestyle that you miss once you leave the military. So you've got like your team, you travel around, you're stuck together. You spend so much time together. It's like a little brotherhood. And I think the only place you're going to get that outside of motorsport is in the army.
And I mean, do you all get on? Because loads of banter in the military. Is the banter the same?
I'd definitely say it's the same. It's a little bit lower grade, which makes it great that there are so many vets that are all part of each team. Me and Max served together in both Germany and Stafford. So you do feel like you've gone from one family to another family and brought part of it with you. So yeah, the banter isn't as high grade, and sometimes I think that is for the best, but it's still good.
So just quickly, what would you like to say to people around the world listening to this in the military?
I think don't listen to the people that tell you that there's nothing on Civvy Street. You just got to look, get the right qualifications basically, and set yourself up, and just don't pay any attention to people that say there's no jobs when you leave the army.
And you?
Yeah, pretty much a lot of the same. There is jobs out there. Motorsport's perfect. We're here. There's loads of us here. We've all served together. Super loads of us have served on operations together. There is a family. There is jobs on the outside. Don't be too stressed about crossing that fence and going over and worrying what's going to happen next, because just reach out to someone you know that might be, and we're always happy to help. We're always here.
And finally, you do realise that you're everybody, if not their favourite, their second favourite team. It must be great fun. Seem a really friendly bunch of people.
Haas on the whole are a much smaller operation than everybody up and down the paddock. For instance, you won't go anywhere else down the paddock and be on such good terms with the big boss. Team principal knows everybody by first name, knows everybody's partners, everyone's family, and you don't feel like you're a number. You feel like you are a member of a family and your opinion matters, which is good. And I think that's what everybody needs when you're spending nearly over 23 weeks of the year away.
Sadly, it's time to wrap up our feature on veterans working within Formula One. I think we need to wrap it up with one of the sport's heavyweights, Christian Horner, team principal of the Red Bull Formula One team. He's a big supporter of the armed forces, and quite right too.
First of all, thank you for talking to us. Why do you think Formula One attracts so many ex-serving people?
I think because in so many ways we operate like a military operation. You know, we have very clear sort of chains of commands, procedures, disciplines that you have to have in this sport to compete against the best, to take on the challenge that we have around the globe. So I think there are, you know, parallels in between the way we operate and the military forces in some respects.
Personally, have you, anybody in your family, do you know anybody that served at all?
Yeah, we've got several people in our team. You know, our head of electronics, you know, is former RAF. So, you know, there's many people, you know, within the team that are, you know, ex-armed forces.
So that leads me on to an interesting question. You run a really successful Formula One team. If you were to run one of the services, which one would it be?
I think probably army, to be honest with you, of the three. Probably get seasick, or, you know, not a big fan of going upside down in aeroplanes, so probably army.
And what would you do in the army, because like, they've got lots of toys?
Yeah, look, I mean, when I was a kid, I used to be in the combined cadet forces, you know, so and I thoroughly enjoyed that, you know. And I think basically a career in the armed forces is a great precursor to whatever people go on to later in their lives. And you can always spot ex-military personnel, just the way they hold themselves, the way they conduct themselves, the way they're turned out, you know, from an attitude perspective as well, in terms of positive can-do attitude. So, yeah, you know, I think in so many ways it's a phenomenal foundation to whatever comes next in the chapter of life.
I know you're really busy, so thank you very much for talking to us. Just quickly before we go, have you got any message to anybody serving around the world? They're quite busy at the moment.
Yeah, I'm sure they are. And look, you know, we're all tremendously grateful because, you know, at the end of the day, the guys and girls, you know, involved in the combined forces, they're the real heroes. You know, what we do is all a bit of fun, really, but we're not saving lives. Whereas just a big thanks from everybody really in Formula One for everything that you do. As I say, stay safe, and hopefully we'll get to see you at a race at some point in the future.